I think I owe you a recording, probably, right? Yes. Okay. Till then, I think I was on schedule, but I'll try to get it. Okay. When I saw you in the box, all the guilt started pouring on. And...
Wonderful. Okay. I'm associated with guilt for you. This isn't a good thing.
I hear. We'll call it responsibility.
Okay. Thank you.
So as I said last week, it's fortuitous that we are studying this topic now because it's really appropriate for the 9 days. And the topic what we've been discussing is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas HaMikdash. And in particular, I was trying to suggest our Gemara here on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph basically says that, seems to endorse the position that seemed to have been embraced by Rashi and the Rambam, and that is that the Kedusha Rishona of Kibush Yehoshua was temporary, meaning once the Churban came, the Churban terminated the Kedusha. You know, Kibush creates and counter Kibush cancels. I guess that's the idea. And on the other hand, the more limited settlement, absent military prowess of Ezra, that was, according to the Rambam's Psak, that was enduring. And surely that, requires an explanation. Simply, on the most basic level, like the Kesef Mishnah says, this is a Kedusha, that's a Kedusha. Why is this one permanent, that one temporary? Number two, if you were going to guess, probably you would have thought that the Kibush one would be more likely, it's based on military might and, it wasn't, it was decisive and Klal Yisrael had full sovereignty. You would have thought, if anything, that would be, and that was the original, now is wider boundaries. So you would have thought, if anything, that would be the enduring one, not the second one. So we discussed the various explanations for this. Again, along with the Kesef Mishnah's second question, why doesn't the Chazakah after Yehoshua, why doesn't that, count like the Chazakah of Ezra? So then you have Kibush plus Chazakah, as opposed to just Chazakah. So we suggested, various approaches, some of which are in the Mefarshim, a couple things from the Ranvaz, and I mentioned the Rav, and some other Achronim, and then my own preferred view, which is that to go with, a little bit the contrarian, I guess, or counterintuitive, or initially counterintuitive, but upon reflection, I think more compelling perspective, and that is that, on the contrary, the fact that Klal Yisrael, in a way, required more Mesiras Nefesh in living in Eretz Yisrael and settling in Eretz Yisrael when they didn't have full military control. That reflected a certain Chibas Haaretz that established a certain bond with the land that was enduring. And again, even though they were expelled, meaning they were exiled, that is all true. But that shining moment when a minority, without military security, committed themselves to live a hard life, in Eretz Yisrael, when it wasn't so clear that Hashgacha Hashem, was going to protect them. They didn't have that level of safety net that they had in the time of Yehoshua. That was a moment, which established a certain bond between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, which was enduring. So again, even if physical presence wasn't enduring, that the remnant of that in terms of sanctity is something that continues to our day. That's a very powerful, I think it's a very powerful idea. Even in the Kibush of Yehoshua, this is something that we established last week. One of the things I tried to show with the Rambam is something, again, that is, cited by, the early Mefarshim on the Rambam, people, again, like the Kaftu Aferach and the Radvaz and others. And then, of course, the later, Achronim, I mentioned the Rav's formulation as well. But again, the Ramban, and in his own way, says the same thing, but Chibas Aretz. And that is that even post Korban Bias Rishon, there remained a remnant of Yehoshua's Kibush. In other words, even if Kedusha is not fully enduring, the idea of Shem Eretz Yisrael, which is a result of the Kibush, having that historical connection with the land, and it having, been manifest, meaning it was realized in the real world, that in itself, was significant. And therefore, legabe things like smicha and kiddush hachodesh and egla rufa and parhalam davishol tzibur and nevua and kavura and chibas haaretz, and yishuv haaretz, a whole slew of halachos have nothing to do with the actual soil or the karka of Eretz Yisrael. What took place at the time of Yehoshua was consequential and enduring. Just that with agabe mitzvah satlios, the psak of the Rambam is that part was not enduring. So it's interesting to identify, I guess, the different complex phases and stages, of Klal Yisrael's relationship to Eretz Yisrael. It all starts, of course, in the beginning of Bereishis, where, our Masorah is that Eretz Yisrael was always supposed to be the place, and it could be that man was even created, with Ephraim and Haaretz, from, the Mokom, of Eretz Yisrael and the Mikdash and so on and so forth. And then, of course, you have the Akedah, and Har HaMoriah and the Beis HaMikdash, etc. And then the Havtacha to the Avos, and Kum Hisalech Ba'aretz, and some form of Chazaka, whether it was a Kinyan or not, Eretz Yisrael Mochsekasi La'Avoseinu, and the Bris Bein Abisarim. These are all different stages, right? In the first in the prehistory of Klal Yisrael, in the history of the world. According to Rashi, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the Torah begins with the story of Bereishis, Koach Masav Higid Liamo, to establish our right to Eretz Yisrael. So, the beginning of the Torah already establishes that, according to Chazal. That's a remarkable thing. But I say these different stages, in the history of mankind, and then, from the beginning of Avram Avinu, the relationship of Eretz Yisrael to the different avos, right? Avram goes and, Lech lecha mi'artzecha mi'olartzecha el ha'aretz asher areka, and then he has even the stronger bond with Lech lecha al har ha'moriah with the Akedah. And according to Chazal, that's where the word Yerushalayim comes from, right? From the Akedah story. But then you have, again, Yitzchak's relationship to Eretz Yisrael as the Ola Tamima, as someone who could not leave the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael for no reason, no justification. That's a special status. And then, of course, you have the fascinating story of Yaakov Avinu, who was told to leave for a period, but who hesitated because he, perceived himself as his father's son. That's part of the story. But part of that perception, self-identification, is that he too was not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Turns out that wasn't to be his destiny. But the fact that he initially perceived it as so is surely significant. And then, of course, this whole question about marrying two sisters, the famous view of the Ramban. Ramban says that as long as he was in Chutz Aretz, he could be married to two sisters. Once he entered into Eretz Yisrael, that was an issue and a problem. So, again, every one of the Avos had a different relationship with Eretz Yisrael, but they had a relationship. And collectively, of course, it was Eretz Yisrael was the land that was promised to the Avos. And that continued to be. And then, of course, you know, with Moshe Rabbeinu, we all know we're reading these parshios right now. You know, his the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim and, you know, the goal of an immediate Knisa La'aretz and what that might have been in terms of, you know, needing a war, not needing a war, being an enduring Kedusha Sa'aretz, all the views of Chazal and the Mefarshim. And it was not to happen, but because of the story of the Meraglim, and then Moshe Rabbeinu's personal pleas, including this coming week's parsha of us, Hanan al Hashem ba'isahi lemor, and his disappointment, but his ability to see Eretz Yisrael, but not to be nichnas, you know, be'eretz Yisrael. All of these are chapters, when we look at them in that way, in the special bond in the history of the people and the land. And at every stage, there's an additional dimension. So, you know, then comes, of course, Kibush Yehoshua, and then comes the Churban, and then comes the Chazaka or the Yeshiva of Ezra, and how that plays in. You know, and then, you know, we have our own history, you know, of the last, you know, couple of centuries when, you know, after a long absence, Jews began to repopulate Eretz Yisrael, and especially in our time with the proclamation of Medinas Yisrael and the tremendous strides, you know, that have been made, you know, transforming Eretz Yisrael again into the national headquarters of the Jewish people. And a very remarkable, again, all of us practically, you know, take it for granted and grew up with it. But, you know, our parents' generation, you know, lived through the change, and our grandparents, you know, only can dream of this, you know, this reality. So when we contemplate in the 3 weeks and the 9 days, and now we're Shushashua Shechalbo, you know, I always like to explain that, you know, this period is a bitter, you know, mostly a bitter period, but there is a kind of nechama, you know, in the bitterness. And that is that the capacity, you know, the Gemara Nivamas calls the period, or the, you know, the commemoration of the Churban and the Avelus, calls it Avelus Yeshana v'Avelus Derabin. And the Gemara points out, and the Rishonim there develop the details, and then the Poskim even more so, that there's a difference between personal Avelus, personal present Avelus, and national and, you know, historical Avelus. The Gemara has Kilukim, you know, because of the Erusin and you know, some of the other Nafkamina, you know, that apply, the order of intensity. You know, we start, this is something that the Rav used to point out a lot, you know, when it comes to Avelus Derabin and Avelus Yishana, you know, instead of, in a way, the direction is opposite of personal Avelus. Personal Avelus starts with the most intense, Lacharisa Ki Yomar, you know, the Aninos, and then, of course, Avelus, you know, of Yom Rishon, and then the 3 days, and then the 7 days, the 30, Yom Beis Chodesh. But in a way, the Avelus Yishana Uderabim, you know, starts in the opposite way. You know, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Shavua Shechalbo, you know, the various stages on Tisha B'Av itself. You know, you really start, you know, with the wider idea of Avelus, you know, with the Yud Beis Chodesh and the Shloshim, you know, all that comes first. That's because it's very different experience. You know, if you suffer a personal loss, you know, Chalila, a family member, and we're all living in a time where, you know, sadly that's happened, you know, too often, you know, and just even in the last few months, you know, but it always happens, sadly. It's Dor Holech Dor Ba. That's part of the cycle of life. It's just been more acute, you know, and more intense because of the Magefa, you know, that we're going through. But obviously, you know, that kind of a raw, immediate loss, is one kind of an experience, a sense of, you know, being paralyzed and, you know, forcing you to kind of re-examine your priorities and so on. That's very different, you know, than looking, you know, back over an expanse of thousands of years, several thousand years at least, you know, and identifying nationally, you know, and historically, it's a very different experience. So it's no wonder that, you know, that some of the expressions of it are different, and some of them are even, you know, in opposite order. Of course, in a personal loss, you don't have to build up to the, you know, the crescendo of the sense, you know, of calamity and of disaster and paralysis. You know, you're emotionally, you know, living it. You know, on the contrary, what you really need the most, you know, is to find ways, you know, to move forward, you know, and to kind of advance, you know, into a different stage, you know, where slowly, you know, you are able to reconnect with the world, but in a way that doesn't trivialize, you know, your loss. So it starts off with the most intense, you know, and then you have these concentric circles, you know, and just like I've said many times, it's always worth, you know, it bears repeating, you know, that the phenomenology of joy and of suffering are very parallel. You know, marriage and loss have the same, you know, structure in halacha, which is the days and the, so I don't want to go into that right now, but I think there are many reasons for it. But, you know, one of them is just they're both very emotional, intense emotional experiences. But when it comes to Avelis Yeshana and Avelis Darabin, you have to put yourself in the mood because this is something that took place a long time ago. We don't actually know anybody, you know, who was killed in these battles or in the anti-Semitic pogroms or uprisings. You know, we do, unfortunately, you know, sometimes, you know, in the Shoah, or at least we know people, lost people in the Shoah. But the point is that we're stretching back a long way. And it's very difficult, you know, to feel that same raw emotion. And therefore you have to kind of go the opposite way. You know, you take away certain things and you put yourself in the mood of loss. And it's there's a lot of reflection. It's an intellectual, you know, kind of avelos, you know, in many respects. But the ability to feel it all, the ability by the time you reach Tisha B'Av to be able to sit on the floor and to act like a real avel, at least in part, in one sense, I wouldn't say it's a silver lining, because that's too positive a word for it. But I do think that there's an element of nechama in it, in that it can only be done if you have a certain strong identification with Klal Yisrael. And the way that you develop that is through your own commitments to Jewish life and to Jewish communal life, you know, and to Eretz Yisrael and to the Jewish community. And it's through texts, it's through Limud HaTorah. You know, and if you read these psukim, the Dvarim Arayim, or even whatever Limud HaTorah you're involved, you're learning about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, etc., whatever it is, if this isn't just an intellectual exercise or a pragmatic exercise to know what to do, then nothing wrong with either of those. But it's more than that. It's a nafshis exercise, you know, to really attach yourself to these ideas and to understand that these are Torah values. These are divine truths. And this is what makes our lives meaningful. So then, you know, understanding the phases of Kedushas Yisrael and Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and, you know, Kedei Sheyismechu Aniyim B'Shas, and even understanding, you know, what makes Kedusha enduring and not, and Shem Eretz Yisrael separate from Kedushas Eretz, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, or whether it's reading the Pesukim in Yirmiyahu or Yeshayahu or Iyov or whatever it is, through that, we begin to live that and to experience it. And then there really can be a meaningful Avelus Derabim, you know, Avelus Yishana. And that's really, I think, what happens, you know, during this period of the year. So again, we dress a certain way, we let our hair grow. You know, the posturing things are all meant to both express it and to bring it on, and also to, you know, to create a framework for feeling it. But in the end of the day, really feeling it depends on, you know, what role Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael and, you know, halacha and its values play in our lives. So in that sense, the ability to feel the pain and the ability to properly observe this period of the year, I say silver lining may be too much, but has an element of nechama to it, because it shows that we are deeply connected, and that is something which is also part of the remedy. You know, that's part of the tikkun, you know, for Chorban. That's why I think when we say, you know, that whoever's mesameach chasan v'kala is kilu bona achas michorvos Yerushalayim, you know, that the capacity to join in other people's simcha, you know, and the ability to cry, the ability to laugh together, the ability to cry together, you know, really both of these show a certain empathy and an affinity and identity, all of which is an incredibly constructive aspect of Yahadus. So as we investigate these halachas just a little further tonight, that's kind of what we have in mind. So last week, again, so this idea of, especially of Kiddush HaShnia being a function of Mesiras Nefesh and Chibas HaAretz, and that sense of identity, like what would impel, you know, a group, you know, to cast aside, you know, their concern for their own security, you know, to put themselves in a situation, a precarious situation. The answer is only this sense of identity. And that is something which is, you know, further deepened the bonds between Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael. Okay. All right. So that is, but that brings us to the last point we began to talk about last time. Yeah.
I just want to ask you a question, please. Sure. You mentioned now about Tisha B'Av. So many of Chazal say that the Shechina actually left the Beis HaMikdash, one of the Medrashim I saw said that the Romans, Yimach Shemam, couldn't even come in to destroy the Beis HaMikdash till the Shechina left. And that's why we start the Avelis on the 9th of Av and not the 10th. Because the 9th of Av is when Hashem Yisburach left, the Shechina left. How does that jive with the Rambam constantly saying about Yeshina stayed in Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh, and even though he held that Kitchel Yishonelo, Kitchel Asilavo, he still holds that Yerushalayim never left, that the Shechina never left that area. So did these, what happened with the Chorban? What happened with the Shechina? How do we view that period, since you mentioned about Tisha B'Av?
Yeah, it's a good, really good question. I've wondered about it a lot myself. I think, well, the Rambam doesn't say that the Shechina never left. Again, when we talk about the Shechina, you know, it's a very esoteric concept. You know, so it's really hard to know what it means. And, you know, the Balei, you know, Kabbalah, even more particularly, again, the Medrash says that the Shechina, you know, is also Begalusa. And, you know, if you look in the, again, in the world of Kabbalah, you know, more particularly, let's say the Zohar. So this is a very big theme that the Rabbanu Shalom, you know, first, you know, he allowed the Chorban to take place and he kind of ignored its effect. And then, like a beautiful midrash in there, then he went down and he was looking for the Shechina and he saw the Shechina also wasn't there. So you're right, there's a lot of Chazal. Is that at odds with what the Rambam says? I don't think it's necessarily at odds. The Rambam doesn't speak about the Shechina, you know, where it is or whether it followed Klal Yisrael to Galus. And again, it's a very metaphysical idea. It's very hard for us to understand what it means. We know that it means something, you know, consequential, but to understand it, you know, in a physical way, obviously, you know, it was very challenging. But what I think the Rambam meant, more to the point, was that what he really says is that that Kedushas Yerushalayim and Kedushas HaMikdash were Kedushas HaShchina, HaShchina Eina B'teila. And I think that's different. Meaning the Shechina might have the, whatever that presence of the Shechina that it went into Galus is one thing. But I think what Rambam is saying is that the Shechina left its mark, meaning the Shechina was part of the Mekadesh of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash. And that always remains a fact and a factor. In other words, getting back almost to the, you know, to the point that we've been discussing, the Rambam. You know, your kibush is a military conquest, and you can neutralize military conquest. Even according to the Rambam, even Chazaka, you know, by Chazaka, we don't only mean that they were living there, because then the Kesef Mishnah is totally right, because then they were in exile, they weren't living there. So if living there creates the Kedusha, then not living there should allow for the absence of the Kedusha. But certainly what I'm trying to suggest was that the spiritual significance of Klal Yisrael, or if you take any of the other explanations, but I'll like the one that I like best, or believe in the most, we'll say. It's not an aesthetic thing. It's like it's more of a conviction thing. So I think the point is that the bond that was created, you know, is indelible. And I think that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam doesn't say the Shechina never left. He said the Shechina is not betela. I think what he means is that the Mokom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is and will always be the Mokom HaShechina. So even if some aspect of the Shechina goes with Klal Yisrael into Galus, that doesn't mean that Yerushalayim and the Mikdash isn't still stamped with the imprimatur of being the Mokom HaShechina, because that's where the Shechina established its permanent, you know, headquarters. Maybe it leaves, whatever that means, again, or maybe it doesn't fully leave. That would be an answer. Even if it fully leaves, it's still its place. It was established as its place. And when it, you know, returns, it will be returning. It won't be, you know, initiating, you know, from nothing. It'll be returning to its place. And I think that's what the Ram means. Ram doesn't say the Shechina never left. Ram says the Shechina is not the tail. So that's, I've thought about this question. That's, I'm satisfied with that.
I am also. Thank you.
Okay, so this gets us to the final phase point, which is the idea in the Rambam itself, which we began talking about last week. You know, we're just going to spend, because I don't want to spend forever on this, but there is much more to say. And that is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh, really, and is Trumos and Maisers and Shmi Minat Torah or not? So as we say, we pointed out last week, there seems to be a stira in the Rambam. And it's not just, you know, a little stira, it's a big stira. Meaning, it's also the way the Rambam presented, you know, he, the master, codifier, presenter, organizer, right? So in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, you certainly get the absolute impression that Kedusha Shnia, Kedushas Ezra, is Doraisa. And you even get the impression there, I'll read just the language again very quickly, that Trumas and Maestros is Doraisa. Okay? So the Rambam says, again, this is Perek Vav Halacha Tazayin, towards the bottom, after the part that we just talked about, Akdushas Mikdash Shom Ipnei Ashkina Yishkina Eda Betela, right? So then the Rambam says, Avalchi Va'aretz B'Shvias and Maestros, is on page one of that group. We talked about that last week. That's, I think, a problem. The kibush, not a terrible problem, but something to make note of. Says, that certainly gives the impression that it's still the Kedusha Doraisa, the Alpha Pisha Nilka Chaaretz Men of the Chayev B'Shvius U'Maisros Al-Derech Shebiyarno B'Chos Truma. So the Rambam, you know, is always amazes us, you know, even when he puzzles us, you know, he amazes us. So he writes this, you definitely, if all this is what, if this was all you had, you would say v'chayi b'shuyos b'shuyos u'ma'isros, right? And what's al derech shabiyana b'chus truma? You know, look in chus truma, you'll get the details. But what we now know, and that's the impression in the beginning of chus truma too, that shviyas and ma'isros are doraisa, because certainly kedusha shniyah unequivocally. The thing is that when you look at chus truma's perek aleph halacha, let's look at halacha. Yeah, look at halacha again. Kol shel ziko limitzayim mitz kadosh kedusha rishona kivin shegalu batel kedusha son she kedusha rishona lefisha haisim b'nei kibush b'vad kitchel l'shaita v'lo kitchel yaslava kivin shealu b'nei agolu v'ziko b'miktas saaretz kidshuha kedusha shniya. Again, the impression is daraisa ha'omedas liolam. Again, it's never batel l'shaita l'asidlava. What's a clear impression that chiyuv trumos umaisros in the makomos that Ezra was investing with kedusha are doraisa, right? But the last halacha in Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos, if you learn, turn to the next page. Perek Aleph Halacha Chavav. That's, we pointed this out last week already. That's where the Rambam drops the other, you know, bombshell, or drops the bombshell, and that is Hatruma Bezmanas Afilu Makom Shechziku Ole Bavel. Of course, he says Afilu Makom Shechziku Ole Bavel because he knows that he, you know, that he previously formulated, you know, a perspective which clearly indicated that it's all daraisa. So now he's telling you, by the way, I forgot to mention, you know, not I forgot to mention, but, you know, this is the other lemaisa you should know. Didn't sound that way at all. The Yirali goes on the Maestros, not on the Truma. The fact that he might distinguish between Maestros and Truma is a Kiddush. The fact that he admits that the Yirali, you know, it's only Yirali, I'm not 100%, I don't have a Makar, you know, only by Maestro, not by Truma, is remarkable. Because on the surface, what he says doesn't have a makar for trumos either. So the Rambam does several surprising things at the same time. Number one, he seems to be retracting, or in light of what he says here, turns out that his previous formulations are now need better explanation. He certainly gave a different impression at minimum, and a master writer, organizer like the Rambam doesn't do that for no reason. He could have said in Hilchos Pesach Bechira, but it's Rabbanan for reasons that we'll explain. Or in Hilchos Trumas Perek Aleph in the beginning. Right? Now again, he is covered. That's why I say the Rambam always fascinates. Right? Going back to Pesach Bechira now, when he writes, V'yavah b'shenil kacharetz minu b'chayi b'shuyus u'maisros ala derech shabiyarnu b'Hilchos Truma. Right? Now we understand that that's pretty loaded. Who said that he meant, if you look at some of the Mefarshim, they say, Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. For sure, he also meant Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. But if you were interviewing the Rambam, and you said, like, Mehechetesi, he'd say, what are you talking about? I gave you all the clues you need. You know, who said, Allah? I didn't say Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. I said, Kibosh B'yarno B'chos Troma. That's Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. And it's also halakha chavav. But then what does it mean to say that it's mekudesh hayom and it's chayiv aladerech shabiyarnu, but it's not chayiv? Right? So that's the question. So A, what is this real sheet? The Radvaz, again, alatar, in Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos, you know, has, I think I mentioned, this whole... discussion, he basically has two answers. But he starts off with, this is a question. He says, isn't there a stira between what the Rambam says here and what the Rambam has been saying? Of course, his answer is, there's no stira. So why is there no stira? So this is a very, very fascinating issue and question. So the Rambam himself, I think I mentioned the first part. One view that he dismisses, but I find really intriguing, is the idea that, well, maybe it depends, you know, maybe this is like a time frame for all of this. And that is that Bias Kochem has to take place, you know, at some time during the epoch. And again, then it's hard to figure out, is this a, you know, Mikano Labo Lamafrei, 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 what exactly, you know, is this? But he seems to say, oh, it's Daraisa until you know, it's not going to be. And then when does that end? At the time of Galus, not at the time of Yemos HaMashiach. Anyways, the Radvaz doesn't like it, but I think it is a really interesting idea. I think there's a lot of merit, actually, to that idea. We'll see that Reb Chaim thought the opposite, in a way, but we'll see that in just a second. Anyway, so what do we mean by this? I think somebody suggested last time, I think, might have been Leon Well, I think, maybe. And that is that there's no stira. The difference, all the Rambam is saying is that, yeah, I think he said it, that it's a t'nai, right?
Yeah, t'nai, yeah.
Yeah, meaning, but that's a lumdish way to read the Rambam. And I think that's a good way to read the Rambam. I think mostly it's the right way to read the Rambam. But it's just a little bit more complicated, as we'll see. Namely, what the Rambam said, but again, before I explain, this is my commercial for my general understanding of the Rambam, which I also mentioned last week. And that is that, assuming this explanation is mostly correct, either way, I think you probably have to say this, it's perfectly clear that the Rambam, in his work, had quite a few simultaneous priorities. And maybe the most important one was presenting the halachic system as conceptually accurately as he could. And from my point of view, that's extraordinary. Meaning he was writing a Sefer Psak, he was writing a summary of all of the halachos, you know, in the Torah, of Torah Shebaal Peh, but he was doing it in a way that was also true to a deep understanding, a profound understanding of these halachas. So basically what the Rambam did is as follows. In Hilchos Beis HaBechira and at the beginning of Hilchos Trumos, he leaves the impression that Kedushas HaAretz Bizman HaZeh is Doraisa. And from a certain point of view, it is. However, Lemaisa, in practice, there may not be a Chiyuv Trumos because Trumos has another requirement that has nothing to do, we'll say it in the most extreme way for the moment, that has nothing to do with Kedushas HaAretz, or let's say, which isn't fully satisfied by the routine identification or definition of Kedushas HaAretz, and that is a requirement of Bias Kolchan. And that requirement, lemaisa, means that there'll be no chiyuv trumos doraisa. Pragmatically, trumos is drabanan. But what he's saying in Beis HaBechira in the beginning of Hilchos Trumos is that conceptually, right, from a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael point of view, it should be doraisa. And the same is true with regard to Shvius.
Has the potential to be doraisa. It's a potentiality situation.
Well, that we'll see. That's not so clear. I mean, it's not clear in the Rambam that you can fix this problem before Yemos HaMashiach.
Bias Kochem, you'll fix a problem.
If you look at the language of the Rambam says very, very clearly that Bizman HaZeh, it's Doraisa. Doesn't say it'll change, right? Atruma Bizman HaZeh afilu b'mokrim shel siko le'bavel. Afilu b'mei Ezra, heinu min haTorah l'min Devarim. He does not say anywhere that if you neutralize that problem, that it'll help. We'll see in a moment. That's Reb Chaim's Ha'ara too, both in the Rambam and Pashtus to the Gemara and Ksuvos, which we'll read in just a minute, that maybe this was frozen in time. That's why I said it's the opposite of that first Radvaz. Instead of having an whole epoch, you know, to make sure this happens, it's a parallel opposite. You know, Reb Chaim, we'll see in a moment, based on the Gemara and Ksuvos and the language of the Rambam, was convinced that this is a frozen opportunity moment in time. Namely, when you initiate Kedusha Sa'aretz, it's then that we reckon Bias Kolchem, right? And that dictates for that Kedusha. The simple pshat of the Rambam is it doesn't change. Again, the first pshat of the Radvaz didn't think that. The second pshat of the Radvaz doesn't say this whole idea that we'll see in a moment the Beis Halevi does. But what the Radvaz does say, in order to solve the apparent stira, he says, well, there's a difference between Trumos, maybe Maestros, Chala, and all other dinam of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Umitzes Pluyos, Bikurim, Peya, Leket, Shikcha, right? As far as he's concerned, maybe Shemitah, probably Shemitah, we'll get to Shemitah in a minute. Meaning, he says, the Rambam says what he says. Now, why? Because, again, probably for the reason that you're explaining, and that is, if this was a din in, if it was a broader din in lack of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, then it affects all dinei mitzvos atluyos. But if it's a tenai, specifically, in chala, trumos, maybe maestros, then why should it extend to bikurim and peya, and so on? So that if you look at the Radvaz, that's what he says. Here, turn the, it's on page 3.
Line 19?
Probably starts at 19. Is the wine line I'm looking for 19? Or the whole thing starts 19?
All things start slain too.
Okay. So go in. I'll just want to read you the second one. Vanachon Bazeh? I would say 9 or 10 lines in. So it'd be like 29, I guess. Do you have that? Check around 29. Banachon Baza? Do we have it? Banachon Baza Shahuila Kedusha Sezra, Lecholad Varim Shaloh Yutluim Bibias Kolchen. Kulam, sorry. Kagon Shmitin, it says explicitly. Yovlos, Bate Arichoma, Bikurim, Kedusha Sirushalayim Hamikdash. Avot trumos u'maisros v'chala the be'inan bias kolchen ach b'me'ezer lo noag u'le medivrayim. Okay? Yeah. So that's the Radvaz. The Minchas Chinuch, likewise, in a bunch of different contexts, when he talks about Bikurim, when he talks about Shemitah, when he talks about Peya and Leket and Shikcha, typically says, the Rambam's view about Bias Kochem doesn't apply to other mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz. And again, clearly his view was that the there's no Kedushas Karka, it has nothing to do with Kedushas Karka. It's a Tanai. So that would explain, certainly also, excuse me, that would explain why the Rambam distances it so much and almost, you know, ignores it in Ilchus Beis HaBechira and beginning of Ilchus Trumos, because he's trying to make two different points. He actually wants you, he wants to leave you with a very strong impression that Kedushas Ha'aretz Bezman HaZeh is Dorais, because it is. And then he wants to let you know, by the way, you should know that Lamaisa, Befoal, Trumos and Maisros, right, are Drabana. Okay. So this was also the view of the Beis Halevi. But there's a little bit of a twist in the Beis Halevi. So now if you can move to the other Maramakomos for a minute, for a couple of minutes. I guess it's a new set, right?
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, this is a set which has only the Beis Halevi and Reb Chaim. So this is a famous tshuva that the Beis Halevi wrote in connection with the issue of the Heter Mechira. Again, you know, when people started, you know, coming back to Eretz Yisrael, they found it very difficult, you know, to observe the Shemitah laws, the economic viability of the Yishuv, as it was then called, was very, very fragile. And they felt that, you know, economically, you know, it was not viable, you know, to demand full compliance with Dinei Shemitah. And we already discussed the question was raised very legitimately a couple of weeks ago about the Avtocha about Shemitah. We talked about when we talked about I gave the answer that I gave there, and I think I mentioned this whole problem of the Heter Mechira, and that this is also one of the major topics of discussion by the Beis Halevi, by the Netziv, by the proponents and by the opponents. Anyways, this stirred up a major controversy among the major Gedolim, you know, of the time. And, you know, that continued to be a debate, a vociferous one, oddly Yameinu Anu. Again, the circumstances have changed a lot in terms of, you know, what's economically, you know, plausible. People have different views on whether it's better or worse, but definitely the situation has changed. But there is, you know, a lot of controversy up to our own time. I have a cousin, actually, who wrote a sefer on more recently in the last couple of Shemitahs, because he still thinks that the Heter Mechira is better than Otzer Bezdin, and that people are neglecting certain issues and problems. This is a very controversial issue. You know, as I say, oddly, Yameinu Anu. Anyways, so the Beis Halevi's contribution to this whole controversy is here in Chelek Gimel, Simon, very, very long Simon. And, you know, he makes, mostly just deals with the question as if it's an abstract question. And then Agav, as he goes along, you see that he's also weighing in on, you know, the rabbinic discussion of his time, some of the journals, Amelitz, and other things, and he's, you know, he's discussing that as well. And Reb Chaim is going to go through these very quickly. Again, fascinating chapter, and it's also an interesting little bit of a window into the revolution in Limud HaTorah. You know, the Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim, in his Volozhin days, Reb Chaim later. There's a little bit of a, this is actually an amazing topic to try to chart that a little bit. There are other ways to chart it too. You know, the evolution of the Brisk as a Derech, but I'm not gonna speak more about that right now, but this is an interesting topic for that. So the Beis Halevi has a long tshuva in which he weighs in on this topic. He was of the opinion that Shemitah, according to the Rambam, Bizman Azeh, the dinim of Shemitah are only Durabanan, but because of Bias Kolchem. You know, that's very revolutionary. Rambam only says what he says about Bias Kolchem, as we saw in Hilchos Trumos, regarding Chala, of course, originally, but Trumos, and Viyirali, Maisros. So the idea that Bias Kolchem would also be a reason, and again, the Radvaz was explicit, that from Bias Kolchem point of view, Shemitah would be Min HaTorah, according to the Rambam. But the Beis Halevi and others felt that the din of Bias Kolchem applied to Shemitah too, and the question is, like, where would that come from? So let's read some of the passages of the Beis Halevi. and you'll see as we go forward, I'm mostly interested in his view of Bias Kolka. Okay, so let's look at that. So in the beginning, the first passage.
Harav?
Yeah.
Harav? Couldn't there be a difference with Shemitah and Yovel and Truma? Because Shemitah Yovel says, B'chol Yoshveha. I saw a woman many years ago, I saw in a sefer from Sherry Yosef, that he quoted that when the two and a half Shvatim went into Gullus during the first Commonwealth. So he says there's no longer the halacha Shemitah of Yovel, even though everyone else is in Eretz Yisrael still. So where you woman stated, is it? Okay.
Yeah, no, this is part of Reb Chaim's whole focus is the distinction between Bias Kolchem and Kol Yisrael. So we'll see that in just a 100%. Right. Well, just foreshadow. Reb Chaim thought that the din of Kol Yoshveh Aleha and the din of Bias Kolchem are two different dinim, and that they're qualitatively different. And we'll see why in a minute. Before we get to that, let's do the Beis HaLevi. But 100%, that's the din of Kol Yoshveh Aleha. So the Beis HaLevi, the way he sets it up is as follows. He says some fascinating things. So Ot Shita Revias Yesh Bekan, he's talking about, you know, the whole piece is, what about Shemitah Bizman Azeh? Is Doraisa, what's Drabanan? But of course, the impact of Doraisa Drabanan is partly legabe, the practical question, you know, of how, you know, how an Eretz Yisrael Bizmanenu, in the time of the Beis HaLevi, now that's already 100 years ago, what's the appropriate thing to do about Shemitah? So he says, "O shita revias yesh b'kan kamoshim yivuar." The Rambam Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos Kosav the Truma b'zman hazeh afilu b'mokum shechziko le bavel fi afilu b'mei Ezra einam min haTorah l'midivrayim. Okay, that's the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Chavav. In the Truma shel Torah l'meretz, so we don't need to lechule. You can skip two lines. He says, "V'ine be'ikra adrash shekosav al Truma." Says, where did the Rambam get this idea that Bias Kolchem applies to Truma? Right? The Gemara in Ksuvis has it, but the Gemara in Ksuvis says it about Chala. Actually, the Gemara in Ksuvis says it about Chala in contrast to Truma. Ayin betur yoredeya, shekasav beis Yosef, after the Nimtzei Zemakom Zosadrasha, how you can see what's going on. The Beis Yosef said, where did the Ram get this from? Maybe he has some other Makor we don't know about. Amnama Yoter Kashalon, the Kol Devarav, him Neged Gemara Mefurash B'Masachet Ksuvos. So for a minute, let's go back to the previous Mar Makomos. I want to look at the Gemara and Ksuvos for a minute. Again, not the ones that we have in front of us, but the previous ones. On the last page.
Isn't that the right question?
Sure.
Doesn't the Rabbi comment on the Rambam that whatever the Rambam is saying should be on Chala, isn't that? But doesn't the Rabbi himself say that? The Rabbi on the Rambam.
Yeah. He does.
So what's the Beis Levi adding to it? That's what I don't understand.
No, he's just saying that he doesn't agree with the Beis Yosef responding to the Rabbi. Says Mistama, the Rambam, has some makar that we don't know about.
Uh-huh.
So the Beis HaLevi is saying that isn't the main problem. The problem is it's against the Mefurash Gemara in Ksuvos, as the Ravid says. We'll see in a moment what he does. So if you look, which is this Gemara in Ksuvos? This is a Gemara that the Ravid quotes too. So the Gemara says, this is Talmud Bavli Ksuvos Chafei Yomid Aleph. The Gemara says, Kosavar Truma Bizman Azed Rabbanan V'chala Doraisa. Gemara says that there's a mandamar who holds that even if truma is drabanan, chal is daraisa, umaskina mi truma drabanan, lechal is daraisa. Ukidash kechinu, ravuna braid rav shua la rabanan. Dom ravuna braid rav yeshua, ashkachtinu la rabanan, the bay rav, the yossi vakamri. Afil a mandamar truma bizmana zed rabanan, even if you hold the truma bizmana zed drabanan, maybe chal is daraisa. Why should chal be more daraisa? Before I was talking about, you know, the different phases of our relationship to Eretz Yisrael, right? But one of those different phases is also, bias haaretz, that's when chala began to be a chiyuv right away. But until the 14 years of kibush and chiluk, there wasn't a chiyuv trumos maisros, etc. Chala began before trumos, 14 years. It's an interesting. So the Gemara says about that, you see that chala can be daraisa when truma's not. You see that from the 14 years. So you see that chala could be daraisa even though truma's rabban. Then the Gemara says, v'amina lehu, he said to him, ana adaraba, I think the opposite is true. Afilam anamar truma bizman hazeh daraisa, even if you hold truma bizman hazeh daraisa, chala is only drabban and the opposite. Why? D'tanya bivoachem al haaretz, I bivoachem yochum mishnechesu shnayim u'shloshim raglim. Maybe anybody who comes in, or anybody representing Klal Yisrael who comes in, tamalom bivoachem bivias kulcham amarti v'lo bivias miktaschem chiaskinu Ezra lav kulu solik. Okay, so this is the Gemara that seems to say that Bias Kolchem applies to Chala and not to Truma. That's what bothered the Raivin, and the Beis Halevi is saying it's not a question made the Rama is hidden Makar, it's against the Gemara. Oh. Now what's also interesting, this is also the Makar for Reb Chaim.
Why wouldn't there be Bias Kolchem in the time of Yeshua? Wouldn't there be Bias Kolchem? Why is Chala Rabbanan in? Why would Chala be Drabban?
He's not saying it was with Chala was Drabban in the time of Yeshua. He's saying Chala was Drabban in the time of Ezra.
Oh, but it was D'Oraisa during the time of Yeshua for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Because it was B.S. Kochem then.
Yeah, but so what's going to say that even though Truma is D'Oraisa, Chala is Drabbanan. But Chala was D'Oraisa before Truma began.
No. I hear what you're asking. No, he's not asking a story. He's saying, the Gemara is saying like this. There's a good reason. Typically, you would think that Chala and Truma, their status would be intertwined. Because they're both mitzvot ba'aretz. Chala even has a shame Truma. So you would think that if one's daraisa, the other's daraisa, if one's drabanan, the other's drabanan, etc. The Gemara says, there can be two opposite views. If you had to split them, there's something which would lead you to think that Truma would be Drabanan even though Chala would be Daraisa. That is the fact that there was a period in history, namely in the beginning of Yehoshua, the first 14 years, Chala was Daraisa before Truma was.
Right.
So we see from there that it's easier for Chala to be Daraisa than it is for Truma to be Daraisa, if you're looking just quantitatively.
Okay.
And then the other Mandamar says, yeah, but you could also say Pumfakert, you could say the opposite. Because since in the time of Ezra, there was no Bias Kolchem, and since the Pasuk Bivoachem sounds like you need Bias Kolchem, which you had in Yoshua, but you didn't have in Ezra, but there's no such Pasuk about Truma. So even if Truma is Daraisa at the time of Ezra, it makes sense that Chala would be Drabanan.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyways, one thing that comes out of this Gemara, that it seems like this Gemara is talking about Truma Bizman Hazeh, Chala Bizman Hazeh, across the board. There is no qualification about whether things change or not. Meaning all of a sudden, if there's going to be Bias Kolchem, if you're going to get a huge aliyah, right? It doesn't sound in the Gemara like that's going to affect Chala. Sounds like what determined that Chala is Drabanan was the fact that in the time of Ezra, which was the initiation of that Kedusha, that there wasn't a majority. That's how Reb Chaim understood the Gemara too. But what's fascinating, just before we get back to the Beis HaLevi, the Ritva went out of his way not to interpret the Gemara that way. So let's look at the Ritva for a second. The Ritva says b'boachem b'biyal kulcham amarti v'lo b'biyas miktaschem. Klomar, v'chiv kala, Nehidlo toli bekibush haaretz. Hari noagu ba baaretz kodem kibush v'chiluk. Hayaruba biyad Yisrael. Chala doesn't depend on kibush v'chiluk. Depends on rov. V'komokom binush yu kol Yisrael orubam baaretz. Kamosh hayu bezman kibush v'yeshiva. Meaning the time, like you just said, the time of Yoshua. V'chi askinu Ezra lav kulusalik. Then he adds, Hilkach afa gav dechala noga benatora bezman kibush v'chiluk. In lohegas achshav benatora. Kivin she'en rov Yisrael aleha. I mean, the ritva, actually, in both of your comments, ein rov Yoshua aleha means, is almost a takeover from Yovel, kol Yoshua aleha, which probably means rov. But meaning, it sounds like the ritva saying, but if you would, now, then it would be. Whereas the Gemara doesn't sound that way. The Gemara sounds like we're stuck because of the time of Ezra, it wasn't. So that's important to know. We'll get back to that with the Reb Chaim in a minute. Anyways, the Beis HaLevi, getting back to Beis HaLevi, says this Gemara, that's basically, you're right, the Ravid asked from this Gemara. This Gemara says explicitly, he seems to say that Bias Kokham doesn't apply. So he says something very remarkable. One second. The Divrei HaRambam Muflai Ma'od, this is the second paragraph. I skipped. You know, I just, this is a massive Beis HaLevi. I just put in some of the, you know, relevant paragraphs. And even then I did some editing. Not of the language, just of the. V'divei Rambam mufloi ma'od, lo re'isi mishukasov latartso, v'ayim Beis Yosef, shukasov denilmo trumos v'kavachomer michala. Ma'a sheva shukivshu shayu b'chayu b'chala, lo chiva b'truma v'yas mitzasan, shepotu b'chala, in addition, Pota Betruma. So he said, somebody tried to suggest, Beis Yosef, that you should do a kol shekein. If Chala is limited by Bias Kulchem, even though it doesn't need Zayin Shekivshu and Zayin Shechilku, then certainly more sensitive Truma, which needs the Yud Dalid Shanim, right, it should certainly be vulnerable to the absence of Bias Kulchem. Okay, says the Beis HaLevi, Dvarim Elam Mufloim, Kima Betza B'Kal V'Chomer, Achrei De Gemar, Mufur Shafach. The Gemara makes it clear that you can distinguish between Chala and Truma in either direction. Doesn't think that one is stronger than the other. And then he says, this is one of the few places in the Beis HaLevi where he quotes Reb Chaim, but this quote of Reb Chaim is different than Reb Chaim's comments, as we'll soon see, in the Chibur. That's a little bit what I meant before about it being also like a little vignette, a little bit of a window into Reb Chaim's development, at least on this topic. Ubni harav, moreno harav Chaim mivalajin, because Reb Chaim at the time, you know, was also giving shiurim in Valajin. Sheyichya, omer li davar nachon. The vaday deikar sugya da gemara tzarich lahavin. This is fascinating. Ma'id omer bi rabbanon de bei rav, de galman omer truba de rabbanon, Chala d'oraisa, right? Right? I don't know what the tzadi zayin should. Zayin shekiv shohayu b'chayim b'chala. D'mavad ikra adavar kasha lahavin lomar d'l'inan truma b'tela akdusha achar achurban l'inan chala lo b'tela lo bitla b'chiyesh bitla l'chatzai. So here at B'chayim, you'll see the difference later. They're basically saying, what is this din of Bias Kolchem? The din of Bias Kolchem is going to apply only to Chala, not to Truma? Mimonavshach, there's Kedusha Saaretz, or there's no Kedusha Saaretz, right? How do you get this mixas? But oh, my Raya made me resign Shekivshu. Hasaman Hayapater Mitruma, Ha'ena Bishvil Chisaron HaKedusha, Rak Migzeres HaKasav. Why was Truma Samaisras delayed for 14 years? So the Reb Chaim is saying, the young Reb Chaim was saying, not because of an absence of Kedusha Saaretz, but because there's a separate Tanai, I'll use your expression, there's a Tanai that exists in Trumas to Maestros that doesn't exist in Chala, and that is that you need Zayin Shekivshu, Zayin Shechilku. You need personal ownership. without personal ownership, there's no chiyuv trumas and maasers. Is that a din in kedushas haaretz? Beinenu, it might be. I think it might be, but that's not what the Beis Halev and Reb Chaim are saying here, right? It's rak migzeres hakasuv dein truma noeg ad acher kibush v'chiluk kamo shehevi Rashi. Meizo chachav etamu lomer shebeshvil zed le truma batal or betela hakedusha lechala lo betela. So if that's the case, what's the Gemara talking about? Why does the Gemara say that Zayin Shekivshu V'Shechilku is a factor in Chala and Truma being Duraisa Drabana because of other things? It's a special din. Ezo Chacha V'Talmu Lomar B'Shul Zeh the Truma B'Teila Kedusha Ayin Shud Shagas Aryeh Masha Chacha B'Zeh Liyasha V'Suga V'Ech Toli Zeh B'Zeh Alkei Mepharish HaRambam. Basically, what Reb Chaim, the young Reb Chaim, said was the following. Bias Kolchem, when the Rambam says that Bias Kolchem applies to Trumos and Maisros, he didn't mean to say that the din that applies to Chala applies also to Trumos and Maestros. What he meant to say was, independent of the din of Bias Kolchem, based on a Pasuk, Ubavaya Ubavoachem, and based on the Gemara in Ksuvas, which is that in the absence of Bias Kolchem, there is no Chala. In addition to that, Trumos Maestros is also adversely affected by the absence of Bias Kolchem, but not because of Kedusha Sa'aretz, this is Reb Chaim speaking, the early Reb Chaim, and not because of Gzeres HaKasuv Ubavoachem, because there's no such makar, rather because Trumos Maestros always requires Kibush V'Chiluk. Here's a bit of a chiddush. Even Kedusha Shnia required Kibush V'Chiluk for Trumos Maestros. And therefore, there's no Kibush V'Chiluk when there's no Bias Kolchem. That's a chiddush too. Why? Because number one, there was no Kibush. Koresh, right, granted them allowance to live there. That's not Kibush. And there was no Chiluk because there wasn't a rove. These are all very mechudash. But what comes out is a perspective, basically the Rambam, point to this pshat, what the Rambam is saying in Perek Aleph Halacha Chavav has nothing to do with the Gemara in Ksuvas. In other words, when the Ravid asks, this is against the Gemara in Ksuvas, and Beis Halevi repeated that question, as you pointed out before, right? The answer is no. The Gemara in Ksuvas is talking about the Gzeres HaKasuv, special din in Chala, Bivoachem, that you need Bias Kolchem. But once we know that you need Kibush V'Chiluk, there's another question, and that is, can you have Kibush V'Chiluk? Do you need Kibush V'Chiluk in Kedusha Shnia? And do you have it when you don't have rov? Or when you have, you know, permission granted by the real sovereign, King Koresh. And the answer that comes from other places, not from the Gemara in Ksuvos, maybe from other sugyas or whatever, global understanding, is you don't have that. So Trumas HaMaisros is only Drabanan B'Zman Hazeh. But if that's true, then it shouldn't be true only about Trumas HaMaisros. It should be true also. First of all, it's a little strange. Why the Yearly, right? What's the difference between Trumas HaMaisros? That's a problem. Moreover, this isn't strange, but this might be the conclusion. All the dinim that depend on kibush v'chiluk, including probably bikurim and peah and leket, I mean, the Radvaz said those dinim don't apply according to the Rambam. According to Rab Chaim, as quoted by his father, right, it would depend if they have a din of kibush v'chiluk, then they have a din of absence of bias kolchem. It's just different than the din of challah. Also, the question would be, if that's really the point, is that something that depends on the initiation of the kedusha or not? Not clear.
Pre-kibush v'chiluk.
Yeah.
How was the land niskadish that challah should be chayiv d'oraisa?
Through the kibush.
But there was no...
I mean, sorry, through the kenisa. Kenisa
is the mekadish?
Seems like it. V'hayiv b'vavachem.
But there's no kedushas oritz pre-kibush.
Well, there is.
Why did Yeshua need kibush if he had a kenisa?
You need a kibush for everything else except for challah.
If kenisa suffices for challah, why doesn't it suffice for everything else? Why isn't it a mekadesh?
I mean, that's an empirical question. I think the answer probably. I mean, I have my own suggestion, and that is that. Again, there's a lot of evidence in general that even though challah is a truma, that it's a little bit of a different kind of a truma.
I'm not asking about challah.
Well, I'll just explain for you in a second. Challah, unlike truma, is not a tevel that results from the tevua of the karka. Right, the mechayiv is gilgul ha'isa. So again, the Yerushalmi has this idea also that in general, that the Aratzos HaSmuchos, Eretz Yisrael, may have a greater chiyuv chala, at least midrabanan, and maybe more than drabanan, you know, because of this as well. Meaning chala is a bit of a different type. But you're arguing, you're asking me a kind of an empirical question, meaning the Chazal, Darshan, Ayyubavachem ala Aretz, that as soon as they were nichnas Eretz Yisrael en masse, right, kulchem,
right.
As soon as they were nichnas kulam Eretz Yisrael, at that point, the kedusha legabe chala was chal. And for the other things, it took 14 years. Those are facts.
Okay, but the svara, why?
The question is whether so Chaim here. You know, as quoted here, is saying, well, those 14 years, you know, have nothing to do with Kedushas Haaretz. Maybe the kibush begins as soon as they came in. That was already considered kibush. You know, when they fired the first volley.
Yeah.
And the rest is a special din. I don't know if that's so obvious. To me, it seems like challah might be different, frankly. I also think, yeah, okay. I think that the kula and the chumra of challah, the fact that it doesn't need kibush v'chiluk, and the fact that it needs bias kolchem, both may show that the connection to Klal Yisrael, you know, is even greater in challah, the kula and the chumra. That's my view, but I don't think Reb Chaim holds that way necessarily.
Maybe it's not a mitzvah tuli b'aretz challah.
Well, it partially is. What I'm saying is that it's a different. It differs somewhat. And I think that can be demonstrated, but I'm not going to do it right now. I'm giving you just a hint where it comes from. Namely, all other mitzvah tulis ba'aretz are produced by the karka alone. Here, it's not just karka. It's the karka and what people who are preparing food, the food, lechem, do with it. Right? It's gilgul ha'isa. So I think, yes, that it's a different... But it is, I mean, it's part of the Mishnah in Kiddushin, about Mitzvah Tulis Baaretz, right? It is a shame truma. It's an interesting combination. We're just not learning challah right now. But that's what I would say. But that's a little bit different than what they're saying. But I think the support for it. Okay. So the Beis Halevi goes on to my time's up, so I guess we'll need one more time, one more next week just to finish with this. But let me just, the Beis Halevi goes on to say the following. Oh. One second. Yeah, the next piece. V'nimtza, oh, no, I'm sorry, we can skip next week. That's the Sugin Ksuvos. That's fine. But go to the piece after that. V'nimtza l'dasa ramam kedushas Ezra.
Yeah.
I want to leave you this with this part, and then we'll. V'nimtza l'dasa ramam kedushas Ezra. He kedusha gemura midoraisa. The gam svirled labatla kedushas aretz gam b'churbana. I mean, the Beis Halevi has the luxury in this interpretation of saying that the need for bias kochan and trumas ma'isras is just about kibush v'chiluk, not about kedushas aretz, and that's why the Rambam writes everything the way that he writes. The kol mitzvah satluyus ba'aretz heb'ata b'daraisa. Raka mitzvah satrichim kibush v'chiluk hu l'didei drabanan gimbi me'ezra. V'imkei l'didei shmitas karka drabanan gambi me'bayi sheni k'demuchach medvarav. Because this is one of his benefits. What about Shemitah? So he says, well, Shemitah is drabanan because it needs kibush v'chiluk. So that this Bias Kolcham number two, not the one of Challah, but the one that doesn't need Exarus HaKasuv, but the one that underlies Kibush V'chiluk, there's no Kibush V'chiluk, there's no Shemitah. There's no Bias Kolcham, there's no Kibush V'chiluk. Mm-hmm. So according to Beis Halevi, Shemitah is Drabanan. But this Drabanan has nothing to do with Kedushas, lack of Kedushas Haaretz, right? It totally has Kedushas Haaretz. It's just that it's Drabanan because of lack of Bias Kolcham, lack of Kibush V'chiluk. But that's what applies to Shemitah. So I don't have time because my time is up, but Beis Halevi thought, and I'll just tell you what Reb Chaim says, and we'll read it in next week because it's very important. I might sort of end on a Hashkafic note as before, that the Beis Halevi thought that the Heter Mechira was untenable. He was a fierce opponent. The reason he thought that was because he said the following. He had another huge, big chiddush. I like the chiddush, but he said the din of the whole yisod of the Heter Mechira was that if you sell your land to the non-Jews, Arabs, whatever, yesh kinenakum lahafkia, right, mi kedushas ha'aretz, if kedushas ha'aretz is only drabanan. The Gemara says that Surya had kedushas ha'aretz only drabanan, and therefore it was owned by non-Jews, then there was kinyan lahafkia mi kedushas ha'aretz. The whole yesod of the Heter Mechira was if Shemitah is drabanan, right, and that means there's no kedushas ha'aretz, or it means that there's only Shemitah drabanan, then yesh kinenakum lahafkia. So the Beis Halevi, I'll read it to you next time, but so no, that's totally wrong. The din of yesh kinyan akum lahafkia depends whether the kedushas ha'aretz is daraisa, not whether the dinim are drabanan or daraisa. So if you have kedushas ha'aretz daraisa, even though the dinim are drabanan, says the Beis Halevi, kinyan akum isn't going to help you. So now, Bo Ray, let's look what we have. He just wanted to explain that if the reason that Shemitah's drabanan is because of lack of kibush v'chiluk, lack of bias kolchem, but the kedusha sa'aretz is daraisa, like the Rambam writes in Uchas Beis Bechira and the beginning of Uchas Trumos, then selling the land and trying to apply what we apply in Surya isn't going to help. Because in Surya, there was no kedusha sa'aretz daraisa. The dinim were drabanan because the kedusha was drabanan. But in the case of Shemitah with Bias Kolchem, the dinim are drabanan, but not because the kedusha is drabanan. The kedusha is daraisa. Therefore, yesh kinyan akum doesn't help. But what's ironic in all this, and the Rav wants to point this out, is that the Reb Chaim in the Chibur has a whole different take on Bias Kolchem, different than the way the Beis Halevi quoted him. Right? Obviously, he wrote it later. You know, he changed his mind or it evolved or whatever. In the Chibur, Reb Chaim says that actually Bias Kolchem is a din in Kedusha Sa'aretz. I'll read it next week inside. Meaning, he makes the deal that we made before in the Gemara Ksuvos, which is, why does, this is his, and I'll just leave you with the Kol Yisrael as well, Reb Chaim says the following. In Yovel, there's a din, as you said before, Kol Yisrael Aleha. It's pretty clear from the Gemara Ne'erichin that every Yovel, you have to make a calculation to see if Kol Yisrael Aleha. Right, that's why in Eretz Yisrael, they're always, you know, getting more and more excited. I don't know, you know, given that we live in such a fragmented world, I don't know what's going to happen with it all. But, you know, it's almost, you're almost afraid for the, you know, for the problem. Not a problem, it's a blessing. But, you know, the din of Yovel, Kol Yisrael Aleha, should change when the majority, whatever that means, however it's defined, is the majority of the Shvatim, majority of the Jews, that, oh, you know, these are not such easy issues. But if you have a reality change, and you have Bias, you have Kol Yisrael Aleha, then you should apply the dinim of Yovel. Yovel, in other words, a Kol Yisrael Aleha, says Reb Chaim, is a kiyum in Yovelos. If you have it, you don't, and each Yovel you check it. It's a tnai. However, says Reb Chaim, Bias Kolchem, you see from the Gemara in Ksuvos, sounds like, not like the Ritva, it doesn't mention the Ritva, but not like the Ritva. It sounds like it depended on that frozen moment with Ezra. Because Ezra came with a minority, therefore, Chalas Drabanan. What do you mean? And what if everybody all of a sudden goes to Eretz Yisrael before Yemos HaMashiach and we're majority there? It depends on, why does it depend on the moment when Ezra invested the Kedusha? Says Reb Chaim, the difference is, because unlike Kol Yisrael Aleha, which is a kiyum in the Yovel, and you just each time calculate it, Bias Kolchem, he says, that's a din in Kedusha Sa'aretz. So it depends on when it was initiated. You can't go in and out of Kedusha Sa'aretz. At the time of Ezra, exactly the opposite of what the Beis Halevi says. He says, Bias Kolchem does affect Kedusha Sa'aretz. That's why Bias Kolchem depend on that moment. So the Rav just pointed out that according to Reb Chaim, I'll discuss this next week, I don't think it's Mukhrak. If you put Reb Chaim, doesn't discuss the Heter Mechira in his pieces in Chibur. But according to his understanding of Bias Kolchem, a major impediment, a major objection of the Beis Halevi falls away. Because Bias Kolchem, according to Reb Chaim's understanding of the Rambam, does affect Kedusha Sa'aretz. So if Bias Kolchem is also a factor in Shemitah, then maybe you could say Yesh Kinyanakum Lafkiya. Okay, so we'll explore this next week. I want to just finish on the following note. And that is, especially according to Reb Chaim, that Bias Kolchem isn't just a Tanai. And isn't only, like you said earlier, a way of, or a critical component in Kibush V'chiluk. I don't think it's so posh that the Kibush V'chiluk isn't an aspect of Kedusha Sa'aretz, frankly. I think it is. But according to Reb Chaim, you go a step further. And that is that Bias Kolchem's the Tanai in Kedusha Sa'aretz. And I'm going to try to show next week that probably you have to say, not that there's no Kedusha Sa'aretz if there's Bias Kolchem, if it has to be Bias Kolchem, that would leave too many difficulties in the Rambam. But at least it is a dimension, we'll call it, of Kedusha Sa'aretz. But going back to what we started with, the different phases of Klal Yisrael's interaction and the way that it relates to Eretz Yisrael, historically, the different phases, the idea that, on the one hand, the Mesiras Nefesh of Kedusha Shnia of Ezra permanently invested the land with some sort of Kedusha, right, in an enduring way because of the Chibas Haaretz that it entailed. And at the same time, the missed opportunity to make that, it was permanent, but to enhance the scope of the Kedusha so that it was an absolute Kedusha, that also included Trumos and Maestros and maybe Challah, meaning the Mesiras Nefesh cemented it, but the fact that the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't participate was a pagam that remained. And that's something, of course, you know, to think about, again, as we this week, you know, grapple, you know, with Avelus Yishana and Avelus Darabin, as we, you know, try to create a mood and a climate in which we can appreciate the enormity of that loss all these centuries later, and the responsibility that Klal Yisrael have, right, to the enhancement of Eretz Yisrael and of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so we'll continue next week. We'll finish this off and we'll move to Daf Ches Amud Aleph as well.